as we turn our focus from gratitude for grace received in the year past to now petitioning God for more grace, and He delights to give it. Our text is from Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. And I remind you, this is the eternally true, trustworthy, inerrant word of the living God. He speaks to us this morning. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Father, for this word we do give you great thanks, for it is grace to us, and would you cause it now to be spiritually fruitful and profitable in ways that we couldn't even imagine, more than we ask or imagine. But Lord, by your Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes to see wonderful things from your word for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I wonder if any of you have any unopened presents under your Christmas tree still. I'm not talking about presents that might be there waiting for somebody to come home to open them. I'm talking about any of your presents that you just haven't got around to yet. I don't think so. I think it's safe to say they've all been opened. And yet, in our Christian life, we've been given gifts and we have not opened them, or we have not opened them very often, and we all feel the remorse or the regret that we have neglected the gifts of God's Word and the gift of God's of prayer. But you're not alone in this. We all feel it. I feel it. We all feel it. And I think I'm especially more mindful of it as a year closes and another year begins, and having those hopes that it will somehow be a little different. God wants us to have His gifts and His benefits and His blessings. He wants us to have these things, and He has designed a path for them to come to us, and that path is prayer. So we have not because we pray not. If we will ask and seek and knock, these gifts will be opened to us. But it matters, of course, what we ask for. Now, you're aware that Paul writes in his letters, he writes into his letters prayers in many of the letters. And we've been looking at these on this Sunday the last few years, as I select another one of those prayers for us for the year. But Paul is giving us a glimpse into his prayer life. And one of the things that stands out in his prayers for these Christians in these various churches that he writes to is that he doesn't pray like us. He doesn't ask for the things that we ask for. He reaches higher. He has much loftier aims and goals in mind. Paul is a pastor, and he has a pastor's heart. And he loves his people, and he loves the church. And it is with great affection that leads him to desire the very best blessings for the lives of those he's writing to. He is intentionally going after something good for those for whom he prays. Now, this particular prayer that we have in Philippians chapter 1 is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and therefore you can have absolute confidence that it is answered by the Heavenly Father. And so I'm calling us yet again this year to pray for First Church corporately and individually asking the Father in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to answer this prayer. Now, would you think with me now for a few moments how we can pray this prayer for each other and what the meaning of it is. Now, this is Paul's prayer for the Christians in Philippi, which is in northern Greece. But this is also the Holy Spirit's prayer for the Christians in the church in Linden, which is in northern Washington. This is for us. Now, it's a very brief prayer. And that is something you do notice about Paul's prayer. He packs a lot in a few words. In fact, it's one sentence. No, there's no periods in here. It's just one sentence in three verses. And he says what he is praying for and why he is praying it. So his prayer is that their love would abound more and more. There's never a status quo with Paul. There's never a point of satisfaction or just contentment with how things are. He is always pressing further up and further in. And in these things, he sees unlimited potential for growth. So he doesn't just pray for love. He doesn't even just pray for more love. He prays that their love would abound more and more. There's no limitation on this request. He's asking God to do more than we would ask or imagine. And would we say this about ourselves? Is our love growing? Is it overflowing? Do outsiders notice it among us? And could it stand to grow even more? When I talk to young couples who are getting married, I'll tell them that the love that they have for each other in this moment, at the beginning, will not be enough to sustain their marriage through the challenges and the trials and the difficulties that are ahead. If their love remains static, if it remains passive, they're in trouble. It must be an active love, a dynamic love, a growing love to survive whatever is ahead. And the same is true in the Christian life. Now, this love, you probably know the word, it's agape. It's that highest form of love. It's God's love. It's love like God. And agape love is not passive. It is not vague. It's not sentimental. It's not self-serving. It is always reaching. It is self-sacrificing. It's looking out for the very best interests of another. So this is a prayer that we would love the things of God more than the fleeting things of this world, and that we would pursue them. And I wonder, in this season that we've just come through now, this Advent season and the celebration of the incarnation of the Son of God, do you know, in a fresh way, God's unceasing, steadfast, abounding love for you? Has this season spoke to you at all of how great is the Father's love for us, that He should send His only Son to be a baby and to save us from our sins? Do you know this unceasing, unsurpassing love? Now, none of us have arrived at the destination. We're not at the goal. At best, we're making partial progress in all of this, in our love for God and in our love for others. But this is the prayer. And what a perfect place for it to start. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. That you will grow in your knowledge of God, and that will enable you to grow in your love for Him. And out of that will flow a kind of discernment that enables you to love others well. Now there's a "so that" that comes in verse 10. The prayer is that your love will abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that, here's the why, you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So that you may be able to discern and approve and test what is excellent and best. And this is the very definition of Christian wisdom. It's to be able to know what is good and best and right. So So we begin with knowledge, but then it moves to a practical application of that knowledge and discernment. When we love God by knowing who He is and knowing His will for us, that leads us then to test and to prove and examine all the decisions, all the choices of our life. Think about the hundreds and hundreds of choices that we make every day, for that matter. The decisions, and whether or not they are excellent or pure or blameless. Think about how should we respond to our spouse, the parents, boss, friends, neighbors, other drivers. What choices, what decisions in those moments? How should we deal with those sinful temptations or desires that present themselves all the time? What should we say or do in this or that particular situation? What should I watch on the TV or the internet? Is this particular choice before me edifying or God glorifying or loving? Am I serving myself or others? This is in part a prayer asking God to guard and guide our affections. What we love, who we love, how we love. This is a prayer for our children, for our grandchildren, as they grow and to make choices. This is a prayer for marriages, that spouses would love each other even more than their hobbies, their interests, and that parents would value time with their children more than with friends or with work. Is this not an age of all ages that needs more discernment than ever? Discernment for all the conflicting options and competing choices and conspiracy theories and false teachers and everything that passes itself off as truth in social media. Do we desire excellence in our knowledge, in our thoughts, in our choices, what we choose and what we leave out? How much do we spend our time on what is a waste or what is at least second or third rate? And think about the discernment we need to help our children to have discernment, to make wise choices, to say no to what is worthless or unfruitful. And notice again, Paul is not praying the way we pray. He is praying with a long view in mind. He's praying with an eternal perspective. He's investing in the day of Christ. And what choices are we making to live that kind of Christian life, that when we stand before Christ on that great day, we'll not be ashamed, but we will hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Now, Paul's not saying that we are or will be pure and blameless in this life. Those words always trip us up when we read them, that we'll be pure and blameless. Paul knows that the path of the Christian life is a path of sanctification. It's a path of progressive, imperfect blamelessness and purity and excellence. Think of the analogy of between a cat and a pig. A cat falls into the mud and she immediately begins to lick and clean herself to remove every trace of mud. That's the Christian. The pig wanders into the mud and begins to wallow in it, frankly, rather enjoys it. This is the worldly person. Now, the Christian may fall into the mud 7 times a day, but he's always picking himself up, cleaning himself up with confession and repentance, seeking forgiveness, and desiring to be pure and blameless, not liking that condition. So this is what Paul is setting before us, so that we might be pure and blameless. And then he goes on, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, who doesn't want to have a fruitful life? Who wants fruitlessness? You know, a life with nothing good coming out of it. This is a prayer for spiritually fruitful lives that are like a light shining in the darkness, even as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven." So this moves us to the outward. Here's the harvest, the outward expression, the working out of this prayer, good works to the glory of God. Now, of course, notice the source of this is not ourselves. The source is the fruitfulness of Christ. He is the vine and we're the branches. And so we are spiritually unfruitful and unproductive until we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the life of Christ flowing in us. And we are drawing life from Christ as we go forward. I was just reminded yesterday from a dear 85-year-old saint who did something that I saw, I recognized, I noticed, and I just blessed them that at their age they're still being fruitful. And he responded with Psalm 92:14. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. And that sap, that green, that life is the Holy Spirit. It's the lifeblood of Jesus flowing from the vine into the branches. And it continues to be true as long as we have breath. This is the fruit of righteousness, and it's the fruit of the righteousness of Christ that we already possess. Remember, this is a prayer. I'm sure if some of you read this, you just thought, too high, too much, too far, too hard. This is not me. I can't do this. I can't even picture myself doing this. And you're missing the point. It's a prayer. It's asking God to do this. It's humble reliance on Him. These are huge petitions. But remember, we're asking God in His power, by His grace, to do it. And you cannot ask too much of God. You cannot go too high. Learn from Paul to pray huge prayers that look all the way to the end. I think many of us do life in survival mode. We're just trying to get through the day. Just get the basics. We don't think anything bigger beyond that. It's all we can do. But think to that, what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, there at the end, when he talks about what are you anxious for? You know, what you eat and what you drink and what you wear and where you live and the work. I mean, just all the normal things of life that we kind of are in survival mode about and anxious about. And what does Jesus say at the end of that? He says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things will be added to you. It occurs to me that's what this prayer is. How about if we aim higher? The things that are in this prayer. And see if what happens at the temporal level is taken care of. So this is my prayer, brothers and sisters. My prayer for First Church this year. That we would have a deeper hunger and thirst for prayer and to grow in it. That we would pray this scripture and take it apart. Take each petition and maybe kind of blow it up a little bit into a paragraph. Pray for abounding love. What would that look like? Well, pray 1 Corinthians 13. Pray that this abounding love would more and more be patient and kind and not envious and not boast and not proud and not rude and not self-seeking, not easily angered, not keeping record of wrongs, delighting and rejoicing in the truth. Pray for this kind of knowledge and discernment and insight that comes out of God's Word as we pray for a new understanding. That we pray for 2 Timothy 3:16, that all Scripture truly is breathed out by God, and it is profitable, beneficial for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Pray for discernment and wisdom, to know what's best, to know the difference between what's okay and what's excellent, between what's acceptable and what's really excellent and best. Pray this for our leaders here. Pray this prayer with a long view that stretches all the way out to Jesus' coming. Pray for things that are eternal and not just immediate. Pray to have a greater awareness of the greatness of God's glory that will lead to deeper worship and fuller trust and faith. When was the last time you prayed a prayer like this for yourself and for your family? What's holding you back? Do we not ask too little? Paul certainly isn't afraid to ask too much. God intends to accomplish great things for His glory through us, Him doing the work in our lives, in our families, in our church. Prayer is the sound made by powerless, empty, weak, blind, foolish souls to an utterly powerful and sovereign and sufficient God. And it's the sound that pleases God most. It's music to His ears. He delights in it. It's sweeter than any other sound. It's sweeter than the sound of our good works and our good efforts. It's sweeter than the sound of preaching or teaching or serving. Will you take this to heart? And consider tweaking your prayer life. What you pray for yourself and your family, your spouse, your children, grandchildren, parents, friends, church members. Here it is. We all need hope and grace and wisdom and strength for 2025. And I invite you, I urge you to join me in praying this prayer. Make it a part of your mealtime prayer. Make it a time of when you're putting the kids to bed. Make it wherever you find even a few moments. Make this prayer. And let's see what God will do with it as we become deeper in faith, become a deeper spiritually, deeper church, and as we abound more and more in love. Amen. Let's pray. And this is my prayer, Father, that You would cause our love to abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight. And Lord, that You would enable us to be able to discern more and more what is best and pure and blameless, that we might be pure and blameless until that day of Christ, that we might anticipate it and pray for it, and that You would cause us, that You would enable us to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.